There's something fun about this. Wow. This trumpet player is really something. I can't be too judgmental learning to sing again, but... Oh, man. I'm just going to say they're probably really, really courageous.
That's one word for it. Being kind.
Welcome to Focused AF. I'm your host, Zach Valenti. This week on Focused AF.
It's just been really hard for me.
People are like, aren't you scared that you're gonna die?
I never feel happy playing this game. That's what perfect looks like.
But first, Sunday in Central Park with my mom.
1, 2. Hi, Mom.
Hey, Zach.
Really great to be out here with you. It's a gorgeous day.
It is. It's one of my perfect, most perfect spots to be.
So I have this problem where I like record all these conversations and I'm never sure how to really connect them. And I'm trying to figure out the third episode of this show. It's just been really hard for me to go from a daily format where it's just obvious what to do to every other week, where I just feel like I have so much time that I could make it perfect, and then I get stuck trying to do, you know, be perfect, and then I just, like, leave it to the last minute, and I still have a week to get ahead of this thing.
Famous last words. I'm speaking to you now on Friday, April 27th, the day this episode is supposed to air.
And I have these two conversations that I think go together, but I don't have, like, the connective tissue yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like I have the one conversation with the mountain climber, rock climber, both from LA, and then the second one was the one with the Pokemon Go experience.
Okay, so let's hear the stories.
All right, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you traveling the Southwest flight 1535.
As you may remember from the last episode, I was in California for my birthday week. I had an interview for work in San Francisco, and I got a cheap flight to Los Angeles.
Welcome to the show.
Focused AF, LA edition. I am on my way from LAX to my friend Jason and Rachel's, and I met a new friend.
Hello there.
What's your name?
Roman. Good to meet you.
It's a pleasure to meet you, man. This has been a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, thank you.
You literally can't take me anywhere anymore without breaking out a microphone and interviewing somebody. I'm a monster.
Oh my god.
I was staying in LA with my childhood best friend, Jason Marin, and his wife and their amazing house. It's like a bunch of college friends living together, making their dreams work in LA. Not to mention their amazing chocolate lab, Pepper. So cute. But yeah, we went for a hike and stumbled on this.
You hear that? You hear that glory through the internet? That is an honest to God waterfall. God, it's beautiful in Los Angeles. How high do you think this thing is?
One waterfall's worth of height.
One waterfall's worth of height?
I'd say about 30 feet.
30 feet. What do you think, Pepper? Wise words from a wet dog.
And just then, something ridiculous happened. We were looking at the waterfall, and a rope got thrown down it from somewhere we couldn't see on top. And the next thing we know, two guys start rappelling down this, like, real-life frickin' waterfall, like commando badasses. The first dude to come down was definitely learning from the second one. He got clobbered a little bit on the way down. Feet kind of came out, but he held fast and landed alive. And I say that knowing full well that I would have been dead if it were me. But then the second guy went down. He moved like Spider-Man. I've never seen something so dangerous done so deftly. Once they got down, you could see their insanely cool helmets, and they just had like tons of technical gear. So I said, I think we're done here, and didn't say hi and we went along our... No, of course I said hi. God damn it. How the hell was I not going to go say hi to these dudes?
What's up, guys?
Howdy.
Hey, what's up? What's happening?
I'm Zach. Welcome to Focused AF.
I'm Alex.
Nice to meet you.
Austin.
Great to meet you. So, I guess, tell me about yourselves. I just watched you scale down a waterfall.
Well, it's a lot more dramatic than it seems, but yeah, it does involve, like, training.
So sorry about the audio quality. If you or anyone you know can edit a waterfall out of a recording, let me know.
I've been rock climbing for about the last 13 years. I'm 44 years old, and this is kind of what I do to not, like, be my age, you know what I mean? I like taking people out that aren't as experienced as I am, but have a lot of heart, and that's where Oscar comes in. He's, like, one of the newer members to, like, our kind of group of really good friends, which are in recovery. No programmed mentions, so no, you know, no traditions broken. Not everybody's in recovery. The only requirement that I have is that you don't drink or get high while you're climbing with me. I don't care what you do on your own time, but I offer this to, I offer my knowledge to everybody, and so far so good. I've met some really fantastic people, and I think this is where Oscar takes it away.
Yeah, Alex right here, he'll be your Yoda. He will be
thank you, brother.
He'll be your Jesus, your Moses. He'll part the sea for you and give you the direct path of ways for rock climbing.
My grocery right there.
Yeah, so just how Alex said, I got introduced to rock climbing. And yeah, dude, I love it. I feel like it's definitely physically challenging, but it's more emotionally challenging. It's a psychological aspect of it, right, that gets people not wanting to do this. But if you get over that, the psychological factor of it, then... Like, yeah, you're going to have a blast here. And I feel like rock climbing helps overall with your well-rounded being. Because if you feel when you're rock climbing that you can't make a climb, then obviously you're going to have, like, your buddies support you. And then eventually you will get through it. And that's kind of how it is in life. When you feel like you're struggling, you don't have much options, much ways out of a certain particular situation. But then eventually you find a way out. That's how I feel rock climbing is.
Let's say we're talking to somebody who's listening. Mm-hmm. And maybe they can't rock climb for whatever reason. Or maybe they won't. Or whether they rock climb or not. What do you think is something that person could pay maybe a little bit more attention to and live better? I don't know.
Oh, like maybe your chance of survival or a better life?
That's a great question. I'm like either one, whichever you're more excited about or passionate about.
The one number one thing I can say is stop looking at your phone and get outside. And you'll probably
yes!
make it. Yeah.
Preach.
Yeah, if you That's stop awesome, looking yeah. at your phone and you actually get wet, you're going to probably be okay. But if you just keep on looking at your phone, then like being out of shape, obesity, and stress is going to kill you before any of this shit does. And like people are like, aren't you scared that you're gonna die? I'm all like, no, I'm scared that I'm not gonna live. That's what I tell people all the time. I'm not scared that I'm gonna die.
We're gonna hang out.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm coming back to LA.
Yeah, yeah.
This is great.
Good umbrella, yeah.
Yeah, I love you guys. Yeah. This is awesome. I don't think you're at a risk for not really living.
So that's the first story. Alex and Oscar, mountain climbers in LA. The next day, I had a very different but weirdly relevant experience.
It's an exciting morning. Not every morning is like this morning, and I'm here with Michael, who will help us understand why.
Yes, so this morning is my first Mewtwo raid in Pokemon Go. That's right, some people still play it.
So maybe you haven't heard. There's a game called Pokemon Go. It's for iOS or Android. It's a mobile phone game. If you don't know what Pokemon is, I'm not sure I can help you. Google is there for you. But yeah, so Pokemon Go basically mapped the experience of being a Pokemon trainer onto the real world in this augmented reality game. You just see crowds of people in New York City staring down at their phones like they were, you know, it was like a Black Mirror episode. Like, mostly like a Sandra Napero episode, like really good and fun. There were some weird stories about people like getting hurt playing the game, but the point is, it was everywhere, and now it's not so much anymore. But there's a very distinct subculture around it that I just found fascinating and really cool. The other voice in this conversation is Michael. He's a friend of mine, and I met him through my friend Jason. He's actually one of his roommates. So we were rolling around together that morning.
I guess I should err on the side of explaining it fully, right?
That would be amazing. That's very conscientious of you.
So, there's a system in the game called Raids where at different locations...
The game developers needed to figure out a way to keep users engaged, and I think that means keeping it really social. So they introduced this mechanic where in order to collect super special Pokemon, you will have to come together to a specific place at a specific time with a bunch of other people to work together to catch it. This particular raid was for one of the rarest Pokemon, Mewtwo, in Burbank, California.
Oh, yeah, we're walking. Should we have waited in the garage?
After parking the car, we hit the street and went to meet up with Jason and Rachel.
Oh, okay, so there's also an art fair happening right now. This is actually really nicely timed.
Do you think they organized it to be the same day?
I don't know. Jason and Rachel are here now.
Hi.
Hello. All
right. So where's the Valor team?
You guys are everywhere. It's like 50% Valor.
Oh, wow.
I told you.
Okay.
You don't want to get any Valor.
Hey.
There was a huge crowd of people that showed up. Dozens and dozens of folks. Clustered into different groups. There are four different teams. We happen to be on Team Valor. The next thing I know, everyone is fighting Mewtwo. And apparently the thing is you gotta fight him as a group and then you catch him individually. And that's when things get dicey.
Yep, 12.
Good luck, sir.
Thank you. You as well.
12?
Yeah. Or 22, 12?
Wait, my Mewtwo is a 2244. What are you guys?
Mine is 2251.
Solid. I got it!
I got it too! Whoa! Dude, this is the first time!
Oh my god.
You just like threw it.
Yeah.
First. Ooh. Is it a good one?
We'll find out.
Awesome.
It's my first
amazing
mission.
Last one was what?
Strong. Yeah.
It's your handshake.
It's
amazes!
I'm shaking. Yes!
Okay. Attack and defense excellent. Okay.
How do you feel right now?
I feel weird.
It keeps popping out!
I feel like every time this happens, there's a moment when I, like, after I get the thing that I've been looking for, I always, it's like a weird high that just immediately becomes like, oh, okay, now I have it, now I've just, like, adjusted immediately.
You could probably talk to a less pessimistic person.
That's my friend Rachel, resident optimist. And then this is Jason Marin, her husband, and my first best friend on Earth.
I like to say, for me personally...
You're talking... They're both, like, pessimistic.
Oh, yeah, well, I like to say, for me personally, I never feel happy playing this game. I only feel relieved.
Yeah. It's not like, about getting happiness. Wow. It's about avoiding unhappiness.
Yeah, it's, like, best case scenario. Like, I was just relieved that I wasn't about to be crushingly disappointed.
Yeah.
Like, it's just...
Can I get an optimist perspective?
Well, it's just, like, very exciting, you know? Like, and, like, the stress is fun, too.
Yeah, I think it's amazing to see so many people come together for something and get to connect in real life. I think it's, like, you know, you don't see that so much anymore.
No, I think that's the only reason why I still play this game, honestly. Everything else about it is pretty shitty.
This is Trevor, who we met playing Pokemon Go, like, right there in the art walk.
It's, like, poorly designed. It's not very challenging. But it's fun to just go out with friends and just chill or encourage you to go someplace new kind of thing. Like, most of the people I know from LA actually just play this game.
Yeah.
All my, like, outside of this game friends, like, they're all from other parts of the country.
Yeah.
It does a really good job of that. Although, like, now I know landmarks by, like, weird names. Like, oh, it's a deer statue. It's like, no, it's a Holiday Inn. It's like, no, it's a deer statue. It's
like, like, I'll go to restaurants based off of, like, stuff in the game because it's a stop I can spin.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite barbecue restaurant is because of this game. And, like, it's a Swinging Door Barbecue.
Okay.
And I used to drive past all the time and then, like, battle at the gym. I was like, you know what? I should probably go in there. I'm always parking in there a lot. I should just, like, support
check
their,
it out.
Check
yeah.
it out. And I was like, this is really good barbecue.
That's awesome.
And now I just go there just to eat now.
Yeah.
So that's the second story from LA, the Pokemon Go adventure. And now I feel like I have to answer this question for you.
How are these two things of a kind? What's similar about these two stories?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell me, what's similar about these two stories?
I guess So it was talking to Alex left me like, no shit, put down your phone and get outside. Like, great news. Like everybody, put down your phone. But then the next day, being with the people playing Pokemon Go, was like, oh, maybe, like, keep your phone. We can make that work, too. I think the thing that I see is just, like, different people figuring out how to live in a way that, like, freaking feeds them and, like, makes, you know, makes life worth living. The commonality seems to be getting outside and connecting with people. Mm-hmm. And for some people, it sounds like it's incredibly valuable to put down your phone once in a while and really get out. And I think that's probably true for everyone, but I can't speak for everyone. I know for me that's been true. And I think that it would be a mistake to demonize phones when there's clearly so much you can do to use them to incentivize people to get outside and connect with each other in ways they wouldn't otherwise. And that was amazing to, like, see so many people, like, in the sunshine, like, interacting with each other, and, like, you know, there's, like, teams, and so, like, people were, like, you know, sort of, like, connecting and getting in their groups, and there's something fun about this. Wow. This trumpet player is really something. I can't be too judgmental learning to sing again, but oh, man. I'm just gonna say they're probably really, really courageous.
That's one word for it. Being kind. Shameless is probably another word. Either that or passive aggressive.
What you don't see, Mom, is they have binoculars on and they're looking right at us. For every wrong note, they're just like, did I get him? When you think about how you want to live, what comes to mind first?
It's such a big question. When I think about how I want to live, I say more. What are you thinking of that's having you ask that?
I'm thinking that I have an incredible opportunity to talk to my mother about these things in a way that I can look back on later in life. And that's an incredible gift. And I think when I think about how I want to live, I am a little bit hit with the enormity of the question. I am immediately hit with the brevity of life. And that comes with simultaneously an anxiety and a calm. Mm-hmm. That feels like sort of two sides of the same, like, you know, different, two sides of the same coin or double edges of a sword. I think a lot about my embodied existence and how uncomfortable I am a lot of the time, physically. I think a lot of people are really uncomfortable a lot of the time in different ways, and we just don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know, we spend more time convincing each other how fine we are and how good things are going to just, like, be okay with what's working and what's not working and talk frankly about both.
You're setting out on, you know, on a journey, doing something new, and you're learning as you go. And what I appreciate is that you're self-reflective, mm-hmm. and you have a tremendous capacity to take in feedback, consider it, see what fits, what doesn't fit, and to put in corrections and make changes that support your beliefs and values and how you want to live. And of course you're going to make mistakes, so what? It's always so what, now what? And you better be making mistakes, because if you're not, you're not taking risks and you're not trying anything. So, you know, good for you that you're working with people and associate with people who give you feedback. When you don't, you know, you may ask for it, they may or may not give it to you. You may not ask for it, they may or may not give it to you. either way, when you get it, you always consider it. And you, as far as I know, are thoughtful and intelligent and heartfelt in what you do with that. What more are you gonna? Can you ask for? I mean, you know, be perfect. You know, that's what perfect looks like, right? In all the ways you are, all the ways you aren't, and you know, it's all about. And you started out the conversation by saying, you know, how do I want to live? It's growing and developing, and what we're talking about is actually, you know, looking at how you do that. Mm. If you don't make mistakes, if people don't give you feedback, if you don't bump up against stuff and deal with challenges, you're not gonna develop and grow. You're just gonna kind of, you know, coast along. You don't necessarily waste away. I mean, eventually you may shrivel up and die, but you know, you can have a long content life,
right?
You know, not bothering with other people,
right?
Possibly, you know.
And I just feel like there's only so many hours in the daylight. Let's dance, you know.
Yeah. So you know, and I think if we can expand our look who's talking, but you know, expand our ability to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
For context, this was a huge breakthrough for my mom being on mic in this conversation at all.
I acknowledge you for coming on the show.
Yeah.
And I will always invite you, and I never want you to feel like you have to, in a way that I think previously I kind of needed you to, or like was attached to it. I don't want you to feel ever like our relationship is for content.
Right.
And I think the remarkable thing about capturing content from our conversations, especially about how the fuck to live, and like in my own pursuit of that, is one, you're always like, you and Dad are always a contribution to me whenever we talk, so like it makes a difference for me. And two, I think there's this tremendous opportunity for me to scale my privilege beyond my life by sharing dialogues like this with people who don't have moms that are you, and who don't have dads like Dad, and who have similarly shaped hearts to mine, and that they really want to contribute, and they really want to create, and they just want to, they have a lot of love, and they want to channel it in ways that feel as good as they make a difference. And there's no user manual, and it's really loud out there, and a lot of people are recruiting for their points of view. Just like social media, I think, is tearing us apart, and I just see this like moderately horrifying superstructure designed to proliferate outrage, to sell stuff to people.
Okay, so I'm just gonna wind back, because that's really big. Impact of social media, and, you know, the apocalypse is just like too big for me right now. Looking at the ducks, you know, shaking their booties, and, you know. When you take a walk in the woods, how can you possibly know what path you want to take? I mean, you can get a map, you can look at air, you know. I mean, we can't do that in life. We don't get the aerial view.
Yeah.
But you know, you try things, you meet people, and that's why it's so important to really stay present, because the conversations you have, the people you meet, and you have a good sense of who to listen to. And I think we meet people in our lives who can really change the course of our life and help us create who we want to be and give us even the sense. I mean, you know, in my family growing up, it was, you know, you were who you were, that's it. And it wasn't until I was in my 20s and had a friend who I just, you know, really admired.
Yeah.
And I talked to her about what I admired, and she said, oh, I wasn't always this way. I was like, really? You know, and she...
Who was that person?
Her name was Karen.
Okay.
And...
was there something particular about her?
Yes. She's just very straightforward, and just... There was... She was down to earth and straightforward and open in a way at that time occurred to me as unusual. I didn't know a lot of people who had certain qualities that she had. And the point that I'm getting at is she said, oh, I wasn't always this way. When I was in high school, there was a little law, somebody who, you know, I admired. And she decided to study that person and to really learn how to become that, to take on those qualities and characteristics herself.
Yeah.
You know, the old fake it till you make it? Uh-huh. And she did that.
That's amazing.
And, you know, 20 years later, maybe then it wasn't 20 years later, but even 15 years later, you know.
I love that.
Having me acknowledge her for something that she actually took on as a personal project,
right.
And it worked. It was an epiphany. It's like, oh my God, you can give yourself permission to create who you are.
Yeah.
And not believe what anybody has told you or tells you about who they think you are.
Right.
You know, that you get to say, change my life.
Right. And obviously it's easier said than done. And knowing that it's possible is where it begins.
Well, exactly. Because it opens up that right. possibility that you're not
a fixed
locked. Yeah. You're not, right. you know, an igneous
human being's
rock.
Not a brick.
It's yeah. not a brick.
My favorite part of social media now is that I carry around two microphones that, as props, make the person I'm speaking with feel like the most important person on the planet, which is exactly how they occur to me when I'm talking to them. And so it just like, you know, that can be social media, and that as a design principle forces people to be together. And I love that I get to model that as an adult, that it's okay to run around with microphones and pretend you're a big radio person, even though, you know, you're not. And
well, it's letting people listen in on conversations that make a difference to you.
Right. Right. Like, just all of that, like, inspires me to keep showing up here. Mm-hmm. And there's this beautiful sort of interplay where the deeper I fall in my life, the more useful I think I am to strangers as a model, and the more I like design my life to be scaled in that way, the more responsibly, you know, I'm like less likely to floss without an online audience, right? Just because I just like want my teeth. And so there's something that keeps me honest in the superficiality of it all. And I think that I have an opportunity to not take drugs to keep my hair in, so that other men who deal with what I'm dealing with can feel okay with how they are.
Specifically, I'm talking about male hair loss. Instagram can be deceiving.
What more does anybody want? Just,
right.
You know, being, just to accept who we are, who we aren't.
Right.
You know, can develop in a lot of ways, and, you know, we don't have to.
Right.
It's where we want to, and, you know, where it matters.
Right. Thank you for being on the show. How was it for you?
It was easy.
Awesome.
This has been Focused AF. Stick around after the credits for Calm AF, guided relaxation tapes with me, Zach Valenti. Music in this episode is by We Is Shore Dedicated, Costa T, Milton Malawarak, and Silicon Transmitter, all available on freemusicarchive.org. Subscribe for new episodes every other week. Please leave a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Join me live for Self-Care Sunday this May 6th at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at youtube.com/Zach Valenti. This month, I'm joined in the studio by Sarah Shackett, writer and producer of Wolf 359. I'll also be airing an interview with the writer of a new audio drama, Frameshift, that I'm producing. All that and more at youtube.com/Zach Valenti. And last but not least, please consider becoming a patron of the show at patreon.com/Zach Valenti, where you can sign up to contribute a monthly amount in return for some sweet, sweet rewards. And in the process, you'll help me hit stretch goals. Bottom line, the more I'm making from this show, the more of this show I can make. Focused AF will return Friday, May 11th. Welcome to Calm AF. Today on Calm AF, we aren't going to meditate. Nope. No meditation today. Just some good old-fashioned nothing. That's absolutely right. You don't have to stress about whether you're doing anything right. Literally, whatever happens is perfect. We're just going to take 5-10 minutes to just exist. I recommend sitting in a comfortable chair or lying down with a pillow or something under the head or the knees for support. All right, you comfy? Great. So let's start by just taking a moment to notice what it's like to be you right now. Just feel free to enjoy the moment. Nowhere to go, nothing else to do than just be. Are there any sensations in your body asking for your attention? Maybe places of tension or discomfort? Or ease? Scan down from the top of the head through the face and the neck, past the shoulders, releasing, feeling your chest and upper back, letting go. Moving down your stomach and low back, into your hips, down through the quads and the hamstrings, past the knees, into the shins, scanning down through the feet and toes. If your mind starts to wander, it's all good. Not your job to make it not do that. You can just notice it. Notice where the thoughts go. Feel free to let them go. Follow them. Let yourself be easy, exactly as you are and as you aren't. even notice some sounds wherever you are. Maybe some smells. Notice wherever your attention is drawn, wants to go. If you're feeling like you're in a rush, feel free to wind down. And if you're enjoying the peace and comfort and maybe quiet, I'll sound a bell in like another 5 minutes. You can just enjoy this for a little longer. If you closed your eyes, feel free to open them. And now would be a great time for a little stretch. This has been ComAF. Good work taking a couple minutes just for you. And just remember, there's a reason that they tell you to put the air mask on yourself first on an airplane.